From the Lynn to Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of August, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. University of Minnesota Extension agricultural economist Ed Ossett will be here. He has some thoughts on new crop corn sales, both in storage and across the scale. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. We'll talk with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online on demand at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day at $3.87, down 2.5 cents. December on its settlement price, 3.75 cents lower. At $4.07, the March at $4.24.75, down 3.5. November beans at $9.94.5, up 5.25. The January at $10.13, 5.25 higher. Bean meal up $6.10 at $277. And the bean oil for the day down 8 cents at $54.40. Wheat futures soft red December at $5.37.5, a penny lower. And the hard red for the day down 1 at $5.37.5. Live cattle futures up 42.5 cents. Feeders 52.5 cents higher. And lean hogs 85 cents higher for 100 pounds. Kurt Kimmel now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us from agmarket.net.
Glad to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Well, let's start with the corn. What'd you make of the market for the day?
Well, new lows. Trade seems to be getting fairly comfortable with crop prospects. Most analysts are looking at up in the yield somewhat. StoneX, he's supposed to be out this afternoon with his projection estimates. We'll see what that comes in at, but there's expectations that some of the analysts are anywhere from 184 to 187 on corn yield, and upwards of maybe 53 bushels on 54 bushels on beans. So SAF News crop conditions report expect to be unchanged, 73% good to excellent. That's what it was last week. Last year we were at 67, ranging anywhere from 71 to 74. For beans unchanged at 70% good to excellent. Last year they were 68% good to excellent. So conditions are better than last year. So it's giving the trade a little confidence here on ideas that we've got the potential of a decent crop. Seasonally, these conditions reports start to roll over from the standpoint the crops started to mature and so forth. So we'll see what that has to say. But for the most part, you mentioned corn, new lows, nothing really positive there. A lot of analysts are looking for this corn to maybe drift on down below $4. The main thing on the corn is basis. Most are in agreement that with the larger production estimate here as a nation, we'll see maybe some storage issues. And the main thing on storage and trend is just not a whole lot's been sold, priced ahead of time. And so we're going to run in a situation where there's going to be need to find some storage somewhere if you're going to hang on to it. Not a bagger to be had anywhere. A lot of producers have gotten the bagging route here. So you'll see a lot of white silos sideways here amongst the fields here as everyone kind of scrambles to find a home. Now, we haven't started harvest up in the upper Midwest here, still ways away, but the only thing that could probably derail those expectations will probably be a Labor Day freeze, Todd.
Okay, so we have this new contract low in the December corn. It is only by 0.75 cents. I guess that's good news. What are the expectations going into the overnight trade and day trade tomorrow? Are there ideas that this will continue to trend lower even this week, going into next week's crop progress and production reports?
We can have a turnaround Tuesday or a so-called little recovery, short covering bounce, but upside's probably going to run into resistance at the 10 and 20-day moving averages as resistance levels. Just above the market. Seasonally, we look for some seasonal lows here in the month of August into first September. So there's just really nothing out there that says step up and buy. Tariff uncertainties, still remain out there. We'll see how that news unfolds. There's really no new export news on the daily scale, any large sales so far this week. Last week, we saw some decent sales announced. Shipments are good, particularly on corn. So, as we wrap up this old crop here by the end of the month here, as the new marketing year starts September 1st, I think, we're going to meet those export expectations. Now, it's a matter of new crop, the uncertainty on new crop that kind of is in the back of everybody's mind.
So new contract lows in corn, however, soybeans managed to gain for the day. Why was that the case?
Well, it was kind of herky-jerky for the most part. Bean oil was on the defensive. Malaysia palm oil stocks for the month of July was at 19-month high, so ample palm oil stocks for a moment in through here. Then that was a little lower overnight. Then, too, we saw OPEC talk about increased production over 500,000 barrels for the month of September. So we're in a situation where that was able to be reversed in through here. The trade was wanting to spread the market, actually, buy beans, sell corn, buy beans, and sell some other commodities on spread activity. Not heavy volume for the most part, but the trade was more worried about the corn versus beans here just through today.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Well, we'll see how the market unfolds in through here. Guys are frustrated from the standpoint of having maybe spray a second time for fungicide. Then, too, we're hearing just a lot of labor issues, finding some truck drivers this fall. So anybody listening that wants a little job here this fall, I'm sure some producer will be more than willing to show you how to drive a truck real quick.
Indeed. Hey, thank you much, Kurt. I appreciate it. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand. Anytime you'd like to hear us at willag.org or search it out by name in your favorite podcast applications. Now, if you visit our website, willag.org today, you'll find a link to register for tomorrow's 11 a.m. Central Time Farm Doc webinar, this one on PCM, Precision Conservation Management. Actually, it's on the 10 years worth of data collected from hundreds of thousands of acres related to nitrogen application rates and timing. You won't want to miss it. Register today. Last Thursday, U.S. President Donald Trump announced that he is reimposing reciprocal tariffs on products from dozens of foreign countries entering the U.S. market. That was just another move infuriating Canadian leaders. Dennis Guy has more. He's a colleague of mine at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
On Thursday evening, U.S. President Trump announced that he is reimposing reciprocal tariffs on products from dozens of foreign countries entering the U.S. market. Trump also announced that he is increasing tariffs on certain Canadian goods from 25% to 35%, while once again accusing Canada of failing to cooperate in curbing a flood of fentanyl into the U.S. Ottawa has repeatedly proven that only very tiny amounts of fentanyl entering the United States originate from Canada, while at the same time a number of measures to strengthen the border have been taken, with those measures confirmed by U.S. border officials. Stuart True with the Canadian Center for Alternative Policies is a Canadian trade advisor. True says that Canadian negotiators have been increasingly frustrated with Washington discussions, and Trump's continued blame game of Canadian origin fentanyl just adds to those frustrations.
It's economic coercion of the worst kind. That's what's happening here. They're making things up. We know that there's no real major border issue. Canada still doesn't have a very good idea of what the Trump administration wants. This is a non-issue. This is coercion. We simply don't know what they want.
Earlier this week, former Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper spoke to the Midwestern Legislative Conference held in Saskatoon this year, along with four provinces, 11 U.S. states were represented there. Harper, speaking directly to the American representatives, said that Canada must diversify much of its trade away from the U.S., as Canada cannot continue to have its economy and its sovereignty threatened by the current Washington administration.
Canada must be seized with the necessity of making sure that we do not export only to you. This really is a wake-up call for this country to truly diversify its export markets. We just cannot be in a position in the future where we can be threatened. That's really critical for us going forward.
And just the day before President Trump's latest tariff announcement, he put up a post on his Truth Social platform that infuriated Canadian officials. Trump posted that Canada's backing of statehood for Palestine would make it very difficult for the U.S. to make a trade deal with Canada. Tom Mulcair, former federal New Democrat Party leader, stated that with that statement, once again, Donald Trump has made a direct attack on Canada's sovereignty.
This is an attempt to use a trade negotiation as a way to control Canada's independent foreign policy. Recognition of a Palestinian state has been part of Canadian foreign policy for decades. Trump thinks that he can use these trade negotiations as a hammer to break Canada's will on this. Quite the contrary.
Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
We're now joined by Ed Ussett, agricultural economist at University of Minnesota. And with Extension, thank you, Ed, for taking some time with me. We have tariffs to talk about. We have a really big corn crop to talk about. Soybeans that probably will be made in the month of August. It appears that way, at least to this point. What's top of your mind for this crop year at this time?
Well, it's a hard one to watch as we continue to drift lower. I, like many of your listeners, Todd, I've been waiting for that spring-summer rally, something where I could get something done. And it pains me to realize that February was the high for this year, for corn, soybeans, and wheat. We had a rally in February, and I recall telling my colleagues at the University of Minnesota, who have a little bit of grain to sell from the research plots and things like that, and I'm like, you know, you don't sell in February. We don't get highs in February. We'll do better. That was it. That was it.
That was it. I'm in the same boat.
I just can't believe it.
Except I did make a sale in January, close to the highs, but yeah. February I ignored.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same boat on this for new crop corn. And even if futures don't drop, I feel like basis at harvest has got to widen out. I don't know whether it will. It's been fairly wide anyway, but man, what do producers do?
Well, we have to start thinking about selling the carry at harvest. We've got big carries in the corn market, big carries in the wheat market, and even big carries showing up in the soybean market. You know, the carry from November to July, the November contract, good grief, where is it? About 990 somewhere in there today. 990 a bushel for November. It's 60 plus cents higher out to the July, 1050. That'll cover your interest costs easily and throw something else in there. It's not the most exciting trade in the world, Todd. I mean, it just, you know, if you sell the carry with a hedge to arrive in the July contract, or you call your broker and you sell the July, if the big rally of 2026 begins, you've sort of made your bed. On the other hand, maybe the big rally doesn't come, and maybe that's the best you can do. If we can get from 65 on, I'm talking Minnesota numbers now. We're trading 65 under the November contract at harvest right now. Not a real thrilling basis. I've seen worse, but I've seen better too. I think it'd be reasonable to expect that to be 30 under the July by spring. So selling the carry could turn, and I'm talking Minnesota numbers now. I apologize for that. I think most of your listeners have to add 20 cents. But we're looking at 9.25 cash soybeans in southwestern Minnesota. Selling the carry with a better basis, you could get almost a dollar higher by next spring.
Okay, so producers may do that. Mm-hmm. That would be for home storage, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. What do they do about the scale?
Well, you're going to bite the bullet and do it. I'm really, we're going to hear talk about deferred price contracts, I'm sure, coming up pretty soon. Elevator's offering you that chance. And sometimes it works. I kind of look at the deferred price contract that is sort of the Hail Mary pass of grain marketing. You know, it can have its moments, but too often we're disappointed by it.
Do you think, and this is reaching, that Mexico holding off with President Trump on their tariffs and trade agreement will offer an opportunity for them to continue to buy corn going into harvest as they have had dry weather throughout their season?
I would think so. Mexico buys just a tremendous amount of corn from us. I've told you this, that our sales to Mexico in the last year are the equivalent of 7 shuttle trains. 7 100-car shuttle trains crossing that border every day, 365 days a year. That's how much corn Mexico has bought from us in the last year. I hope tariffs don't get in the way of that. I really hope not. That's a huge market for us.
Well, here's what I'm thinking on the fact that you and I don't have corn sold. I'm wondering whether we can find, can or have already found a corn bottom going into harvest and through parts of October, and whether if basis doesn't really widen out, you might get a better price to go across the scale.
I'm kind of with you there. It is not uncommon in bearish years that we bottom early. And, a September low, an August September low, not out of the question. That has crossed my mind. I hate getting people's hopes up too much, but that's,
that's all possible. I have.
That happens. That happens.
I know. All right. Well, we'll see how that all goes. Anything else before I let you go?
Well, I'm just wondering if my own home state of Minnesota can top 200 bushels an acre for an average yield. Your state, Illinois, has done that, 10 years ago, topped that. That's a big number for a state average. Iowa has already done it several times, and they'll do it again this year, as will Illinois. Minnesota's never done it. We've been 195 for a statewide average yield, and I just wonder, with conditions as good as they are, if we don't have a shot at 200-plus.
We will find out more about that next week when the crop production report comes out from the United States Department of Agriculture. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Ed Ossett. He is an agricultural economist at University of Minnesota Extension. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It was a great weekend. Weather's been really good. What can we see across the Midwest for the coming week?
Well, this favorable weather here looks to continue throughout the week. Rainfall will now be below normal, as we saw over the weekend. Most of the rain suppressed into the southern U.S. And so for this week, drier than normal conditions, and temperatures will remain cooler than normal throughout the middle to latter portion of this week. It's then next week where temperatures then climb to warmer than normal levels, but it still looks to stay generally drier than normal across the bulk of the belt.
Do we lose the humidity at some point, or does it stay with us?
We are going to see humidity increase again this upcoming weekend and next week as temperatures begin warming up. But right now, it doesn't look like we return to like those dew points in the 70s, like what we saw back, you know, much of last week and prior to that, which resulted in the, you know, very oppressive levels of atmospheric moisture.
August generally tends to be a dry month. Do you expect much in rainfall across the 30 days of the month?
Well, it's looking like a generally drier bias, although overall it doesn't look like we're getting into any kind of extremely dry pattern or anything that looks highly anomalous on the low rainfall side of things. But certainly this the first 3 weeks of August are shaping up to be below normal to various extents across the Midwest, but kind of more so on like right around that 75-80% of normal rainfall versus like less than 50% of normal rainfall.
Let's check in on some other growing regions across the planet, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere. What do you find for Europe?
Yeah, for Europe, in recent weeks, there's been cooler temperatures, an increase in rainfall, and that has either stabilized or improved crop conditions there, especially for corn and sunseed in most areas. One area that has missed out on those rains is Southeast Europe, the Balkans, where significant heat and dryness seem to really taken its toll here the past month for summer crops in those areas. Looking ahead here, we are going to see much of Europe revert back to a drier and a warmer pattern, very similar to what took place back during the month of June. So that'll be beneficial for winter crop harvesting here, but for summer crops, likely could again begin to lower yield potential from the current levels.
Does that spread all the way into the Black Sea area as well?
It does, at least into Ukraine portion of things. In Russia, though, they will continue to be active and also will see cooler temperatures, especially in their northern part of the winter wheat belt. So some of the disruptions and issues that they're having there with harvesting their winter crop and some quality issues, it does look like that's going to continue here as we go through the next few weeks.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org, where you'll find right now a link to register for tomorrow's PCM, Precision Conservation Management webinar from the Farm Dog team with Laura Gentry at the Illinois Corn Growers Association and Gary Schnitke discussing PCM data related to nitrogen rate applications and timing. You won't want to miss this. There are 10 years of data there, and it should be a really good webinar on how to optimize nitrogen rates for the 2026 corn crop. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.